Okay, Bob, first slide. Here we go. So as I thought about the passage from Luke referring to the peoples and Jesus' baptism, my mind went to the threshing machine. That was such a part of harvest time during my growing up. The threshing machine was the precursor to the combine, and for a young boy it seemed to have a life of its own, as the many serpentine belts moved pulleys and sheave cutters. This particular image was shot last fall, I believe, out at the Bar U. So for a young boy, this machine had it was like a live creature. And it created quite a whirring sound, and sure enough, the grain came down the spout clean as a whistle, and the straw blew out the stack at the back. And it was really, really dusty, dirty work. So don't get me going on the insufferable itch caused by barley dust. Some of you know. So the threshing machine is really a mechanized version of the ancient thrashing floor. So let's go to the next picture, Bob. We'll make it bigger. There we go. The idea is the same. You need wind to separate the grain from the chaff. And that's what I appreciate about the passage from Luke. It is quintessentially a rural image. It notices the natural elements of wind, and yes, fire, as actions and aspects of threshing. This particular image is from the Nazareth village. It's like a biblical heritage park just outside the town of Nazareth in Israel. This fellow is thrashing with a winnowing fork. So, very rural. Jesus' ministry was exceptionally rural, actually. And it's not uncommon now, and we should start to realize that the gospel notices the natural elements within and all around. Wind and fire, certainly, as actions of threshing. And we all know how grain dust and chaff are highly flammable. If it catches fire, it's an unstoppable fire. Luke uses powerful and natural images around the practice of baptism. If you were listening to the early part of the gospel, you see these images are very live and grand. They set the context for baptism. So just leave that photo up. So let's back up a little bit and begin with the idea that it's the grain that matters most to Luke. Threshing is about saving the precious grain by letting the wind blow away the chaff, that material which really is no longer needed. Luke speaks of baptizing with the Holy Spirit and fire. So I wonder if you recall that in Greek, the word for wind and spirit is exactly the same word, along with the word breath. That Greek word is pneuma. Spirit, wind, breath. All has that Greek word as the same root. We could say that Jesus will baptize with wind or breath and fire. The spirit, wind, or breath of God blows away the chaff and saves the grain. This is a refining process, I'd say. The unnecessary, the frivolous, the chaff is blown away and burned, leaving the... So if we think of baptism in that way, it's a clarifying process, a refining moment, an action of alignment whereby water wind and fire. The baptism names the people with Jesus among them as ones fully in relationship with and embraced by the loving intentions of God. This is unique to Luke. Unlike the other Gospels, Luke does not name who does the baptism of Jesus. Luke situates Jesus as one among the people being baptized. There's very little drama. What Luke does say, and this is unique to him, is that after the baptism, Jesus was praying. And while he was praying, the heavens were opened. The Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. So important to notice that it's like a dove, not a dove, but like a dove. But it's bodily, means it's real. And a voice from heaven names him as the Son, the Beloved, and the one who is pleasing to God. Luke recalls the baptism this way, after which, during prayer, Jesus has a mystical experience of the divine. That's a very different telling of the story than either Mark or Matthew. You'll have to discover that. So the description, Luke's description of the heavens opening, actually reaches way back into the time of the prophet Isaiah. When Isaiah prayed for the heavens to open and for God to come again to usher in the beginning of a new age. Or in the words of Isaiah 43, to bring about God's new thing. For the Spirit to be embodied like a dove suggests that this is a real experience, that it's visceral and felt. And the voice from heaven names the special sovereign and servant nature of Jesus' relationship with God. The voice from heaven appears here at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, and then again on the Mount of Transfiguration as Jesus' ministry takes him closer and closer to Jerusalem. So, it's significant that the baptism as described by Luke is really secondary to the fact that after that, Jesus was praying. And during his praying, the chaff is blown away, the distractions are removed, and the essence of baptism is left. The beginning of a new age, a clear awareness of Jesus' relationship with God, and a blessed mandate for ministry. Luke goes on then to develop the story of Jesus' ministry from this point. But I wonder, what do we glean from Luke's description of baptism? What can we gather up from Luke's words as grains of wisdom? Maybe the obvious thing might be the question, what does the Spirit need to blow away from our lives? What needs to be separated out and blown aside in order to get to the kernels of wisdom that matter most? Or what needs to be tossed aside so that we can be more clearly present to God's Spirit in our lives? How does this story invite us to consider our identity as ones embraced by God's intentions for us? And following up, how might we embrace a life of prayer as so clearly established by Jesus in his own practice of ministry? These are questions I think, that help move us to consider our life together as a community of faith. In our service of baptism, the congregation is asked, as a baptized and baptizing church, do you commit yourselves to support and nurture one another within a community which worships God, resists evil, and seeks justice? To be such a community requires some winnowing on our part in order to stay clear about who and whose we are, clear about our identity as ones who follow in the way of Jesus, and about how we might usher in God's new age by choosing to live with compassion in the world and seeking justice along the way. The gospel is once again inviting us to consider our mission and ministry as ones who endeavor to live with compassion, courage, diversity, and respect. In fact, these are the values that we hold as a congregation. Luke invites us to situate our baptism within the wider context of our prayers. It was, after all, while Jesus was praying that his relationship with God, his life of faith and mission became clear. At the end of the day, it's about the grain, the wheat, the oats, the barley. It's about saving the kernels, gathering them, cherishing them, and blowing away all the stuff that's not needed. As a kid, I remember holding my hands at the end of the grain spout as the grain spilled out from the thrashing machine. There it was, just the grain, pure and simple. And here we are, the winnowed ones of God, free from the chaff, and clearly identified as ones who form an intentional community filled with compassionate people following the way and wisdom of Jesus. There's always something to be gleaned from that, something that we and the world desperately need. A baptized ministry named by God, refined by wind and fire, grounded in compassion and healing, and ushering in God's new age. Everyone should say, wow. Yeah, it's a little bit better. Like, think about what it means to usher in a new age. Think about how that connects to the baptismal promises we make and the mystery of the water as it is sprinkled and poured over one's forehead. Think about wind and fire refining. This is not little domestic stuff that we're talking about. It's fairly wild and untamed energy that is quite profound, transformational. We might not want to take it lightly. We might want to consider what it's like to be lightning rods for God's spark. Amen.